Hello, listeners. It's Razzle Dazzle holiday time, and I want to take this time to wish you all well, a special New Year's greeting, and you can bet I have a resolution that I'm going to see more dance, more theater, more of the arts, and support the arts too. So I'm going to turn the introduction of our guest, Robert Neil Marshall and Gerald Jordan. And Judy, my friend, my co-host, take it away.
I love your resolution. And hey, we have some guests here that can help you with that today, Carolyn, that's for sure. So let me speak with you, Robert. And you are the executive director of the Columbia Festival and of the Arts and Columbia Film Festival. That's a pretty prestigious title. So I'm going to take on her resolution. I like to call it an affirmation because I affirm that it's going to happen. I believe it's going to happen. So what can you do to help us towards that with the Columbia Festival moving into hopefully person to person?
Thank you. First of all, Carol and Judy, thank you for having me back. It is such a pleasure, such a joy. And I was excited to get the phone call. Well, as we go into the new year, the Columbia Festival of the Arts, which has gone virtual for the last 2 years because of COVID, we are looking at bringing back for our 35th anniversary, right? Our traditional Lake Fest, and that's the bands and the music down at the lakefront with the artisans and the crafts and some spectacle acts. This is going to be a big year for us. Of course, we're navigating what happens with COVID like everybody is. It's the C word that nobody wants to say, but it is a reality, and we're being very conscientious and following all state, federal, and county guidelines. Of course, we want our patrons to be safe. We want our artists to be safe and so forth. But we're really planning some exciting programming coming up. It'll be June, so you got a little bit of time to wait, but we're going to have a lot of teasers and promos, videos for the upcoming Columbia Film Festival as well, which is going to go virtual again, so more people can see it online. But we're also going to have live events as well and a lot of outdoor.
Well, that is music to my ears. Silly pun that it is, but I am absolutely thrilled about that. Now, what about the film festival? So you're saying it's like hybrid. So in other words, we can see some virtually. And then where in person do we go to see that film festival?
Well, we're looking right now. I mean, we're still, this is December, and we're very excited about where we're going. So we're still looking and planning, but there are a number of outdoor venues. We have this beautiful screen. We did for the Columbia Mall, you might remember, a 50th anniversary celebration where we showed Charlie and the Chocolate Factory outdoors, and we had a great audience. It was right there in the Central Plaza, and we had a great attendance. So we're looking at venues like that. We may, if it's safe enough, to have some limited access indoor work as well, like we work with Howard Community College quite often at Monteboro Hall and Smith Theater. So those are still options. But a lot of the outdoor, and there might be some surprising places where you could bring your chair and your popcorn and watch some movies.
I love that. So now let's just for a second go back and talk about your colorful past. So
I love the way you put that.
Let's talk about how you got here today. So, I mean, come on, Robert, don't be shy. You've rubbed noses with a few famous folks along the way. So,
just work and things that have happened. You know, I've lived in Columbia now, gosh, 27 years. It's the longest I've ever been anywhere, but I did live in LA for a number of years, and I worked in the West End of London in my early years for a producer for a show called Me and My Girl. And Rowan, we worked with Rowan Atkinson, and we did the first High Society that had Natasha Richardson in it. It was quite an experience early on. And my boss, who was died younger than I am now, he had 58. He had a massive heart attack, and he was a big agent and a producer named Richard Armitage. And a lot of careers changed, but some of his clients who were just kids we worked with back then, they were just these talented people, were a couple of names that you might know, like Emma Thompson, Hugh Laurie, Tony Slattery, Stephen Fry, Tilda Swinton. These were all clients of this agency called the Nolgay Artist Agency. But they were all in our 20s, just beginning their careers. And of course, we know where a lot of those people went afterwards. So it was an exciting time.
Oh, that's great that you have that in your colorful past. So how did you come to be our executive director of the Columbia Festival? You know,
You don't know the juicy story. Well,
no, and that's Carolyn likes us to dig up the juice. So, yeah.
I was working for Pat Moran as a casting associate for a number of years in Baltimore. And, you know, Pat Moran is very famous for her work with John Waters and Hairspray and all of that, and her magnificent red hair. And she needed an assistant to help her when we were just getting into Game Change, the movie with Julianne Moore that filmed here in Baltimore. And also we just started Veep, season one of Veep. Well, after the first season was over, I went on a brief leave to take care of some business because I love ocean liners, and I had a chance to go to the 100th anniversary of the Titanic by going on a ship 241 North 50 West. I was actually invited to be right where the Titanic sank on the 100th anniversary. Mind blowing. So I took a brief leave of absence. And during that time, Nicole Hickey, who was then executive director, had asked me, would I like to come on to the festival as programming manager? And I thought, well, that's like casting, only instead of casting actors in roles, we were actually casting, you know, artists and bands and music. And honestly, the pay was better. So in the arts, that's a hard thing to come by, we know. So
indeed.
So I started to do that with the festival and eventually went in and out over several years. I had some health issues, took me away, but I came back. And so I came to the festival a couple years ago because of my background in film and film production. And I said, look, I know you can't afford to hire me, but I am willing to volunteer my time to create this film festival for you, which was my expertise. And I said, if we get some backing, then, you know, sponsorship, because of course the Columbia Festival, it's so deeply appreciates sponsorship and donations. And Carolyn, I know you guys have been wonderful supporters of the festival, so we deeply acknowledge that and appreciate it. But I said, if I can bring in some financing, you know, maybe then you could give me a stipend for doing it. And they said, sure. Well, when we got into COVID, we were about to do the festival live again, and everything had to stop. And the only thing we could do was the film festival by taking it virtual. It was easy. It was quick. My predecessor decided to retire at that particular point in time. And as we headed into the unknowns of COVID, we didn't know what was happening. So it was the film festival that thrived and kept the Columbia Festival of the Arts alive, as we could still present and we could still make an impact on our community and follow our mission and so forth. So that's the long, complicated story. And I was offered the position of executive director to come on board. And now this is my second term. And we are growing. We are coming back bigger and better than before and navigating pretty choppy waters, if I can say so.
Absolutely.
So that's the short version of the whole sordid story. So I'm very excited and very proud. I work with Dave Simmons, our programming director now, who is a genius. He finds the most incredible talent, and we work really well, and we have a really wonderful organization growing within our community.
Absolutely. And we love having you. You're the perfect guy for the job.
Oh, ooh, thank you.
You really are. Yeah. So let's see, we have another guest here, and I have to tell you, Gerald, that I got confused with your name. So Carolyn let me know your name and told me to look you up. And so you have somebody else with the same name, imagine that, that's in finance that graduated from Harvard. And that's the one that I looked into. And I sent an email back to Carolyn saying, what am I going to interview him about? That seems so droll compared to what we do here. Right. So I was excited I had the wrong person for sure. And I'm pretty excited about hearing your upcoming role, because to be able to fight Rocky seems like a pretty hard role to follow after you get done doing that. So tell us what that's about.
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, just thank you so much for having me. You know, it's such an honor, you know, to be here.
Our pleasure.
But yeah, so I'll be playing Apollo Creed at Toby's Dinner Theater. A run of Rocky begins March 25th. It runs through June. And yeah, essentially we have been in boxing training for a couple of months now. Indeed, we've been training at Title Boxing. They've taken really good care of us. For me personally, I actually have a martial arts background. So it's trying to take one discipline and kind of seamlessly transition it to another and working on technique there and everything, while also, you know, engaging in all the fun that musical theater brings you. And so, you know, it really is just a really nice balance of, you know, the physicality of the boxing and really trying to ensure that you do the character justice. You know, Apollo is very much a professional boxer and I have to do my best to look the part. And so it really has been incredibly enriching. You know, it's just one of the beautiful things about theater is, you know, you get to work on a lot of different skills that you may not dabble in otherwise. And so it really has been just a great, great experience. They're taking really good care of us there and really helping us out, but they throw us right into it. You know, it's very rigorous in the way that they're preparing us and just the exercises. They treat us as if we have been doing it for years, you know, which has been really good for us, you know. So they're
it's going to be real hardcore boxing, sort of like the movie too, is what you're telling us.
Yes, pretty much. Yeah. They will pull no punches, so to speak. So
no punches. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, again, that's a hard role to top. You know, I mean, I used to say that to kids that got to play Jesus in Godspell, but this one's going to be hard to top after this too. So, but it seems that you can do it justice. And I also love to hear that you're a fighter by nighttime, but you work with special population kids by day at Toby's. And so that's certainly a wonderful dichotomy. So tell us what you do with that job.
Yeah, absolutely. So I, during the day, I serve as the deputy director for Columbia Center for Theatrical Arts. It's the youth education nonprofit.
That's quite a title, deputy director.
Yes, yes. And so we are essentially the sister company of Toby's Dinner Theater. And what we do is we work with kids and we help them put on different productions. We try to provide, make ensure that every child has an arts education. One of our outreach programs, which is sponsored by numerous grants and really, really wonderful donors, is our special needs program. And so I'm one of our special needs educators. Essentially, I go in and I help the kids put on a production of their own. We actually just got finished a production of Beauty and the Beast Jr. this past Saturday with them. And, you know, it's really wonderful. I've been working with that particular class for about 7 years now, I believe. And, you know, we have some students that come in that are nonverbal as well, but by the end, you know, they're up and they're singing solos and they're dancing. You know, it's really wonderful for, you know, all of those that are able to attend, for the students as well. They've really built a very, very good and enriching community, you know. So it's a real honor to be able to work with those students, for the parents to allow us the opportunity to work with them as well. But they just always exceed whatever expectations it is that we have for them. And every single time we get something new, you know, which we absolutely love and adore.
Now, was this a performance live as well?
Yes. Yeah. We're back fully in person, which has been phenomenal. You know, December's a busy month for us performance wise. This past week, we had 8 different productions that went up kind of all simultaneously at different locations with different schools and populations. We were virtual essentially once everything shut down, and we were trying to ensure that theater could stay in the kids' lives. So, you know, they couldn't come to us, so we brought it to them. You know, we did a lot of very extensive things over the summer as well, just in kind of dabbling into TV and film and recording original musicals that we wrote for the kids, where we had them in person and filmed in front of green screen. But yeah, we're so excited to be back in person. It's just something that there's nothing like it, you know.
Exactly.
And so while we loved what we were able to do virtually and we're really proud of what we were able to accomplish and the fact that we were able to continue to provide that experience for the kids, but we're so, so elated to have them back with us.
So did you do these performances on site of where you taught them or at some special theater?
No, we did them on site. So typically we travel to a bunch of different schools. We'll do productions there. Occasionally we have productions that happen at the Howard County Arts Council as well. You know, we're very fortunate to be able to rent out space for them. So we are a little bit of everywhere. We have, you know, different programs here in Howard County. We have them in Baltimore City as well, which is also part of our outreach program, which is free for students to participate in. So yeah, we basically run around everywhere and just try to bring theater wherever we can.
Oh my gosh. Are you sure there's not two of you? I'm doing the math. I'm going, he did 8 performances and he's learning how to box and he's in rehearsal, singing, dancing, acting, boxing. Wow. Okay. That'll keep you busy.
Jump in with a question. I'd like to jump in with a question for you. And it's a Broadway connection. This is for Gerald.
Yes.
I hear you have a connection, of course, with your fiance, Brynn Williams, and she's a Broadway performer. But there's also with Rocky, the two leads from the Broadway production of Rocky have a connection to Toby. And I know you know this, and that's Andy Carl played Rocky. And help me out with who played the female.
Margot Siebert played Adrian. in the Broadway cast, the original cast.
And is there a chance that they may be coming back to visit?
It's very possible. I know that a lot of times CCTA and Toby's do joint events together in fundraising opportunities. I know there's discussion of potentially bringing them on to kind of assist with that, which would always be wonderful. It's always nice whenever you get, you know, original cast members, you know, and just the experience and being able to talk to them because they're a treasure trove of knowledge always. And so, yeah, but they do have a very deep connection with Toby. They both performed at Toby's Dinner Theater early on. And I believe Margot was one of our young Colombians as well. And so, you know, the roots are strong there. And so, you know, it is something that has been discussed. I know it's something that Toby is very excited about. So, you know, we'll see exactly how that manifests, but we're hoping to have more information about it very soon.
Oh, we'll be checking in on that. Don't worry.
Absolutely.
So, Daryl, tell us about your colorful past. So what brings you to this moment in time and what you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up here in Howard County. I actually, when I was younger, I was taught by Toby's sister and her niece at two different schools. So I was taught by Sue Miller and I was taught by Beth Rosas, and they're very much the reason that I'm here today. You know, as I was going to college, I was attending UMBC and they brought me in to work for CCTA and essentially teach while I was attending classes and everything. And just with working with, you know, the populations that I have the honor of working with, it was something that I could never tear myself away from. And so, you know, really just being able to work with the kids and seeing them kind of grow into themselves and not only, you know, be able to engage in the different works that we're working on, but also just kind of find themselves within the text as well, has always been something that I just feel you can't replicate, you know, anywhere else. You know, just in the way that we cast with the elementary school students, we cast scene by scene. You know, we say if you follow the costume, you can follow the plot. And essentially, with our past productions that we just did this past week of Beauty and the Beast, we had it. So instead of having one person play Belle, we had 15. And so, you know, it's just kind of right. It sounds absolutely hectic and it is, it's an organized chaos, but everyone gets an opportunity, you know, and that's something that I found really helped me when I was in high school, when I first got into theater. And so really working with the kids has just kind of served as my motivation. And then just being able to act myself has always been, you know, fantastic. It's just something that I love and adore. And so really being able to have the opportunity to do a little bit of A and a little bit of B, you know, have my cake and eat it too, has been, you know, phenomenal. But as you said, it seems like, you know, I run around all over the place, but, you know, I never want to shortchange the kids in their opportunities. And so I don't really personally care how much time it takes, you know, I'll ensure that, you know, they get everything that they deserve. But at the same time, you know, whenever you sign on to do a show, you want to make sure you're doing it justice as well. So yes. You know, you really have to put the time in all facets. And I'm one where I like where the work can kind of speak for itself. And so, you know, I always encourage anyone to watch our students, see them. They're everywhere and they're out doing everything. We try to go out and support them. You know, they are at the end of the day, really my true motivation because I'm their biggest supporter and they end up being mine as well. So, you know, it's really,
I feel the love. I absolutely do. And they are blessed to have you for sure.
Thank you.
Now, what high school did you go to? Just curious.
Sure. So originally I went to private school. I actually went to the Park School of Baltimore I started there when I was in kindergarten. I went there through my freshman year. And then I switched to the Howard County Public School System shortly thereafter. I actually attended Glenel High School for my sophomore year. And then I moved. And so I moved and ended up going to Mount Hebron High School for my junior and senior year. So that's actually how coincidentally I ended up working with Sue, who worked at Glenel, and then ultimately Beth, who worked at Mount Hebron at the time. And I am here.
Okay, so I wouldn't tell this information, but you can because you're young. So what year were you at Mount Hebron? And I have a reason to ask.
Yeah, so I graduated back in 2011. Okay. So I just hit 10 years ago is when I graduated. Okay. Yes. So
yeah, I used to do a performing arts program that fed into Mount Hebron.
Oh,
but this was a little longer ago than that. So sure. I was just checking in. Okay. You're even younger and cuter than I thought you were. So.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm a whopping 28. So
okay. Oh my goodness. Well, yeah. I love of your background and how it has made you who you are today, and keep doing what you're doing. I need to get information, and Carolyn keeps reminding us that we need to shamelessly promote and give numbers and websites, because I would love to come see your shows and support that. So how can we do that? Can you say that on the air?
Yeah,
and
absolutely. Yeah. So our website is www.cctarts.org. It has all of our information about everything that we're doing. If anyone else is ever looking for information or if they have questions, they can always call our office, which is just 410-381-0700. I'm here. I'm totally accessible and always happy to answer any questions about seeing performances or getting your child involved. You know, a lot of times it just takes that first step, you know, and kids kind of find that they love it. That's how it was for me, because I was an athlete back in the day, and you know, kind of
good,
switched.
Good, because you're playing the part of Apollo. Yeah. That's good.
I still am,
everything,
you know. So
happens for a reason.
This is just as, if not more, physically demanding than any sport I ever played. But you know,
I believe you.
Right. So, but yes, you know, it's just feel free, just look us up. Our website has all the information about the different programs that we're doing. We work with kids from, you know, essentially age 5. All the way up through high school, and we have programs all throughout the year. So, you know, we're always putting up productions. We're always trying to give students as many opportunities as we can to be on stage. And we're always looking to get involved with new schools and new student populations where maybe they do not have a theater program. You know, we do have outreach programs. We have scholarships as well. There's really no reason why a kid can't participate. So we do everything we can. And we never want, you know, cost to be a deterrent for anything.
That's great. Do you have a Facebook page, or do they?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we have a Facebook page as well. I believe the domain tag for that is CCTA40th at the end there, but Columbia Center for Theatrical Arts, if you look that up, you'll find us. We have an Instagram as well with the same handle. So, you know, yeah, and our website links to absolutely everything. So, you know, we try to be as accessible as possible.
Wonderful. Well, here's what I want to ask all the guests, and Carolyn and I can answer this too. So, what is your favorite holiday movie or play? Ooh. Let's go with that, because we do have the holidays coming up. So, Carolyn, you want to go first?
It's not Nutcracker, I can tell you that.
I already know that. I knew that.
Other traditional ones. I've got to go with the new West Side Story film. I mean, I don't care if it's holiday or not.
Have you seen it already?
As my friend down there, we were talking about it, Robert Neil Marshall, also has seen it.
I saw it last Saturday. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's a fresh new look at West Side. Mm-hmm. And it's also very honest. And the camera work that Spielberg does, he just captures the moment that you're right in with them, and you understand why Riff is so cruel, but so needy as well, or why the characters they're just real. And I loved it. So that's mine.
So he uses Stanislavski technique and gets into the psyche of the characters, huh?
Great.
I'm dying to go. I just got to get it on my calendar. All right, then, Robert, what is yours? And you can't say West Side Story.
I can't say West Side Story, but I will second what Carolyn was saying about the reality, the depth, the truth in it. It was really remarkable and wonderful. It's very different than the old Hollywood version, which had its pluses and minuses, but this really brought it to life in ways I think a whole new audience will appreciate, as well as an older one. I think my favorite, and I love the musical. I have a friend who was in the musical on Broadway named Caroline O'Connor as well, as the A Christmas Story, which is the famous story about with the lamp and the dad and the kid and the mall and the shopping and the elves. I think that's one of my favorite. It was always made me laugh, and it seems to be something that brings joy to me as well.
Well, Toby's did that, and we actually had the young boy on our show to interview.
Right. But
and it was great. And I still want to get that lamp. I can't remember where I was recently. Oh, I was at National Harbor, and in a gift shop there, they had three sizes of that lamp. Three different sizes, small, medium, large. I'm not kidding. So if you want that as a gift, that's where to get it. So
that's fantastic. Well, my friend would play, she played the teacher, and she did this wonderful number called You'll Shoot Your Eye Out, which is a bit of a showstopper. So
we all remember that, and the tongue to the tongue getting stuck to the
stuck to the lamppost
and pole. I know.
How many of you have tried that? I want to know, honestly, right?
Not me. Not ever. But what about you, Gerald?
Sure. So I'm showing my age a little bit, but my personal favorite is actually Elf. I love Elf. It's just such a wonderful show. I love the stage adaptation. I love the movie. You know, it's just remarkable. I think it's just so much fun. And it's just, Buddy the Elf seems like such just a fun character, you know, that actually has a surprising amount of depth, you know, there as well. So it's not just like running around and screaming, so to speak, but, you know, it's just a wonderful, wonderful story.
And it appeals to all ages.
Yeah,
young kids
really
love it, even though they don't get all the tongue-in-cheek humor and all that. Right. But, you know, yeah, and it's timeless as well, I think.
Yes.
Yep. So mine, I'm going to be corny, but mine is still It's a Wonderful Life. I still have to watch that every year. I mean, Jimmy Stewart is one of a kind, no matter what. And I still absolutely love the Rockettes Holiday Spectacular. I've seen it 24 times. And I really wanted to go this year, but I said, let me just wait. I'll probably go next year. But there's still nothing like that show, you know. And of course, that it holds tradition and then adds and brings in the new. I was able to take my 5-year-old granddaughter a couple years ago, and that was just a moment in time because she just did have that total look of awe that, you know, those moments that you live for. So probably we have just enough time to tell about what do we want for the new year. Quickly, Carolyn, what do you want for the new year?
I want everybody to go out and support the Ball Ballerina's benefit here at the college on January 9th. She gathers wonderful dancers. And of course, it's to support cancer. Of course, that's what she's going through right now. So that's mine. And we've got to also mention that Stephen Sondheim passed away. And hopefully at the end of the show, we're going to have a little bit of singing in his honor by Gerald.
What about you, Robert? What do you want for the new year?
I want us all to just get back to some sense of normalcy in our lives and community and compassion and kindness. I want to see more kindness in our world. And I hope that we as individuals and as organizations can do that and bring some joy, as I think through the arts we can.
From your lips to all of our ears. Absolutely. I love it. I second that. And so I'm going to say mine, because then I'm going to come into you, Gerald, and then let you sing us out. Okay.
Sure.
Or sing us home again. Yeah. So I just want human connection. And I want to believe the same thing as you, Robert, that we've learned something and that we appreciate more and more what we all have, and to just get back in it. So human connection, let's connect again, that's for sure. So Gerald, what is yours?
Yes, well, for me, I think I kind of want to piggyback on what Robert said. Just a lot of kindness, just really a lot of empathy, you know, just thinking of one another and essentially getting back to where we're lifting one another up, you know, and just really utilizing our platforms, utilizing our personal experiences, just to ensure that we're looking out for, you know, our neighbor. So that's all I can ask for.
You know what? There's no better platform to do all of these things than the arts. I mean, that's what we can do. So we should. So, all right. So are you ready to give us a little song and a tribute to Stephen Sondheim?
Yeah, absolutely. So actually what I'd like to sing is it's a little unorthodox, but the very first show that I ever did was West Side Story, which Sondheim actually wrote the lyrics to. And as Caroline had brought it up, I was like, oh, why not? So it's the very first role that I ever played in any musical. I was a riff actually at Mount Hebron High School. And since we were talking about it, it just kind of stirred it with me. So I will sing a little bit of that. That's
sounds
okay.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. All right, it's been many years, but here we'll give it a go.
Sing it, honey.
Boy, boy, crazy boy, get cool, boy. Got a rocket in your pocket. Keep coolly cool, boy. Don't get hot, 'cause man, you've got some high times ahead. Take it slow, and daddy-o, you can live it up and die in bed. Boy, boy, crazy boy. Stay loose, boy. Breeze it, Buzz it, easy does it. Turn off the juice, boy. Go, man, go, but not like a yo-yo schoolboy. Just play it cool, boy, real cool.
Wow. Just to pull that right out, that was amazing. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
Awesome. Just wonderful.
Fabulous. Thank you, Robert, Neil, thank Marshall. You. Thank you, Daryl Jordan. Pleasure to be in your midst. Happy, happy holidays. And guess what? Let's see each other in 2022. Carolyn, awesome. As always, it's been a blast here on Razzle Dazzle Radio.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.